being here tonight, and I don't take it for granted. I had you keep standing. We're going to read this text scripture in just a minute. And again, I appreciate you being here, and I trust the message will be a blessing to you. And I do want to mention this before I get into the message today, that some of you probably talked to Teresa or whatever, and I called this afternoon, and she said the preacher went through everything, so he could hear and knew what was going on, but he was in a lot of pain. And he's going to have to stay away from lawnmowers and vibrations and things like that for a while. So I hope she don't have to go through with him what Bruby went through with me. Because she stayed mad at me for about 2 months there because it wouldn't let me mow. And I'd amen. Yeah. I don't want to waste God's time. I'm going to tell you this, and I promise you I'm going to shut up. I don't want to waste God's time rambling. Yeah, when first surgery I had, they told me I couldn't mow for 4 weeks. I couldn't believe it was happening. So finally she convinced me I couldn't mow, so told her how to mow and got her straightened out, and she started mowing. And so I was sitting there and I was watching, you know, I was playing the role, being a good old boy. And now, I don't know if the Holy Spirit told me this, but something told me this. And well, boy, you can go around there and rake the front yard. So what I done, I slid my chair out around to the front. She probably thought I went around and sat down. So what I did, when I could hear the mower over here, I'd go over here and rake. And when I'd hear the mower this way, I'd go back over here and rake. And when she got through, I had the yard raked up. Boy, she went bats. So anyway, I appreciate you being here tonight, and I trust the message to be a blessing to you. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, and look at verse number 23. Proverbs 15 and verse number 23. The Bible says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Let's think about that for just a few seconds. Right here, Proverbs, a wise man had God on him. He said, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. And a word spoken in due season, how good is it? I want to preach tonight on this subject, two false statements. Two false statements. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, God, for the privilege, Lord, to be here tonight. And I want to thank you, Father, God, to be able to open up the Word of God and hear His Word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that these people would not hear me, but God, they'd hear your Word. Father, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Now, I realize, Father, a lot of men preaches the Word of God. They could probably do it without Him, maybe, but I can't. Father, I need you, I need the Lord Jesus Christ, and I need the Holy Spirit of God tonight to help me. I pray, God, I'd not say anything that you wouldn't have me say, and I'd say everything that you would have me say according to the Holy Spirit's leadership and guidance. Father, I just pray, God, for my church family. I love my church family, and I don't take any of them for granted. And I pray, Heavenly Father, you continue, God, to meet needs. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to bless our preacher. Encourage him, God, and bless him, and give him a quick recovery. I pray, Heavenly Father, again, God, that you continue to keep your hands on our church. Now, thank you and praise you for all you do. May Jesus get glory out of everything that's done tonight. Now, thank you and praise you for all you do, for asking in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Two false statements. First of all, by way of introduction, how many times, you don't need to raise your hand, but how many times you heard the statement, cheer up, it's going to get better? That's a false statement. Or maybe you've heard people say, cheer up, it can't get any worse. That's a false statement. Now, God didn't say that. This is what man says, and that's what man says. Cheer up, things are going to get better. Well, we're going to find out tonight. And then the other side of that is, cheer up, Sure, things could get worse. Well, let's look and see. So by the way of introduction, I want to say this. First of all, let's look at the economy. Now, you know as well as I do, you can cheer up all you want to, and it's not going to get any better. The economy's not going to, I don't care who the president, I don't care if the president was Joe Blow. It's not going to get any better. The economy is going to go just like it is, no matter who's in the White House or who's in the brick house. It's going to be the same. It's not going to get any better. Oh, now we might see a little flicker here and there. It looks like a little daylight happening. It looks like we might be seeing some daylight. Say, well, hey, things are getting better. No, the economy's not going to get any better. Now, it may be a little switch in there sometime. It makes it look like it is, but economy ain't going to get no better. And we see that day after day. And then jobs, the job situation. I know when I was growing up, and don't you say 100 years old, John. I ain't there yet. When I was growing up, man, jobs, they were a dime a dozen. You could get them anywhere. Good jobs, good jobs. Some of them paid good money. Some of them were pretty good jobs. But boy, in this day and time, jobs are hard to find. Now, I realize and I understand that a lot of people don't want a job. They're out there saying, well, I've been looking for 19 years and I ain't found one yet. Well, chances are they don't want one. That's another story. But what I'm saying is tonight, cheer up, the job situation's going to get better. No, it probably won't. And if it is, it's going to be just a little flicker and it's going to be right back where it was at on a downgrade. So the job situation is not going to get any better. What about the government? You know, I could park there a while, but I'm not going to. I love America, and I wouldn't want to live in any other country under God's heaven than the United States of America. You know, and we probably by far gotten probably the best government, one of the best governments in the world. Boy, I want you to know, and you know as well as I do, that the government in America is going downhill every day. I'm talking about from the White House to the brick house to the wooden house, all the way down. And look what we're getting in there in the Congress and the senators and the governors and all that. And then it's not going to get any better. Oh, you might get a few in there once in a while, it's on the up and up, but the government's not going to get any better. Cheer up! It's going to get better! It ain't going to get no better! May improve a little bit, but that's it. What about the overall situation? It's not going to get any better. You can cheer up all you want to, and you can put on a smiley face and have a grin from one ear to the other and think about all this, but it's not going to get any better. And I want you to understand something tonight. And I'm not trying to discourage everybody. Stay with me now. I'm not trying to discourage. It's going to get better. Stay with me. And then, the next thing I want to say, and I'm going to get into Scripture in just a minute, but how many times you heard this? Don't raise your hand. Kids say, well, boy, when I get out of here, out under my mom and daddy's thumb, buddy, it'll get better. Things will get better for me. How many of them kids would like to be back home under mom and dad's roof right now? It ain't going to get no better because you think you're getting out from under mom and dad's thumb and you didn't have a good relationship with them or whatever. It don't get no better if you leave in that situation. And a lot of times it doesn't get any better if you had a good rapport and a good relationship with them. It still don't get any better sometimes because then they're on their own. They always want to go back to mom and dad. Not being critical, that's the way it is. And then with this, and I'm going to get into the Scriptures. I've heard people say, well, when we get a new president, things will get better. Yeah, we've had new presidents ever since I've been born. Watch it. We've had presidents ever since I've been born, and some of them have been good presidents, but look where we've gotten the last 6, 8, 10, 12 years. And it ain't going to get no better, son. It don't matter who's in the White House or who's in the brick house or who's in the wooden house. It's not going to get any better. I don't care who the president is. Now, with that in mind, and you can put a marker there if you want to in Proverbs 15. I'm going to go back to that in just a minute before the message is out. All right, let's look at something. First of all, the first statement is, cheer up, things are going to get better. Well, let's look and see if they are. Take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Very familiar scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, remember that first statement now. Cheer up, things are going to get better. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and look at verse number 1. Paul says here, he's writing the second letter of Timothy, he said, this know also. He didn't say this think ye or this hope ye. He said this know also. You know, there's a lot of things in God's Word that says we can know it. And I'll admit, there's some things in the Word of God just, I guess the way people interpret it, come out with different interpretations. But I'm saying there's some things in God's Word that we can know. And we see here, the writer here says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times will come. You know what that word perilous means? It means dangerous, difficult, and hazardous. That's what the word perilous means. They're going to be dangerous times, difficult times, then hazardous times. And brother, we there right now. Things are difficult, things are dangerous, and things are hazardous. The whole world is like a stick of dynamite about ready to go off. That's why it says perilous times. And I'm not saying we're in the last days of the last days, but son, we're getting close to the last days. I don't know how close. So we find here, the writer says, in the last days, perilous times will come. In other words, we're talking about some rough times. Dangerous, difficult, and hazardous times. And then verse number 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? That men today, I'm talking about on the average, are they lovers of their own selves. It's my four no more. I don't give a flying flip about what you got or what you do or how you are or what situation you're in. It don't matter to me. All I care about is myself and my family. My four and no more. And all they got on their mind a lot of times is get all you can, set on the can the rest. That's all. They're lovers of their own selves. And we see that today. You say, well, now, Brother Melvin, it's always been. Well, it's always been that. But that's the way it is today, is on the norm for the most part. So men should be lovers. And it's not talking about men, the male gender, it's humanity, men, the human race, shall be lovers of their own selves. First thing we see here is covetousness. The word covetousness means to wish for or to lust after. Now, I'm not going to get explicit in some things, but your neighbor may have a big car over there, a nice truck. You got a little old bitty run down piece of junk, and boy, you look at that thing, and man, you want it. You covet that. We covet about things sometimes. We ought not to. But the Bible says they're going to be covetous in the last days. They're going to be wanting things that they can't have, and things their neighbors got, and things their brothers has got, and things their parents has got that they can't have and can't get. So they covet it. They're covetous. And brother, we're there today. Covetous people. Now, a lot of them don't care about nobody but my four and no more. And then the next thing we want to look at is they're proud. They're proud. And that word proud means to be self-centered. Proud. You know, the Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 16, there's three things God hates, four is abomination to him, and the first one on the list in verse 17 is a proud look. Boy, you've got a lot of people today, now they don't strut around like this and say, man, check me out. I'm a dude, boy, check me out. They're not that proud, maybe. Some of them might be. But there's a lot of people running around here today, and even in church families and in some of God's people, they're proud and arrogant. It ought not be. They're proud. And I could go on there, but I don't have time to really get in depth on these. But a lot of people are proud today. And then the next thing is blasphemers. Blasphemers. The word blasphemers means cursing God. Now, I'm going to say something here, and I don't mean to be ugly, and I'm not trying to be a smart act, and I'm not being irreverent to God. I'd be scared to do that. But you know, when I was growing up, and even in the last few years, people would cuss on television. I mean, boy, it wasn't nothing to blade out a cuss word, and it got worse and worse. But if you noticed, in the last, I'd say, 3 to 5 years, now they don't cuss much. Everything that comes out of their filthy mouth is my God. And half of that crowd wouldn't know God if he fell over them. That's the first. And people that way too, they don't have to be on TV. The first thing when somebody goes to say, oh my, I just cringe because I know it's my God. It ain't my goodness or my graces. It's, oh my God, drives me insane. Blaspheming a holy name of God. We don't use God's name like that. God's name is reverend and God's name is holy. And we ought not be using God's name in a slang way. And we call on him for mercy and say, oh my God, help me, Father. We're calling on him in a reverent way. We need him. But when somebody says, oh my God, drives me insane. Blasphemers. Gotten out of where they blaspheme God's name rather than just flat out cuss. And if they're going to do one to two, I'd rather just hear them cuss than to use God's name. And then a lot of people got to where they'll say, oh Jesus. Same thing. Blasphemers. Blaspheming God. And God, they're going to answer that one day. And I know a lot of these people do that. It's unsaved. And I know a lot of these people don't know Jesus their Savior. And I know a lot of these people don't know what they're doing. And some of them don't even care. Blasphemers. And then the next one is disobedient to parents. Look at verse 1. This I know. And in the last days, perilous times shall come. Disobedient to parents. I guarantee you, when we were growing up, we didn't dare sass our mom and dad. We didn't sass our grandparents. We didn't even question when they told us something. We'd have found ourselves getting up off the floor. Well, my dad went in there and he took care of my rear end. You didn't do that. Kids didn't dare question their parents years ago. But boy, now you got 5 and 6 and 7 year old kids telling them what to do. They don't ask them. They tell them what they're gonna do. They tell them what they're gonna wear. 5 years old. Well, what you wanna wear today? You wanna wear this or that? Put on this and like it. Say, well, you mighty mean, preacher. No, I'm not. I'm just saying, that's where we're at today. That's where we're at. Disobedient to parents. Heavens forbid when they get 14 or 15 years old. You might as well just cut them loose because you ain't going to tell them what to do then for sure. Well, they'll get you down, wear you out with a strap. Disobedient to parents. That's sad. I don't use a lot of illustrations, but Ruby and I have been over to Walmart before and, well, I'm not going to say, but, well, yeah, I am too. You'd see a little old 6 or 7 year old kid there and he's pitching a fit and pitching a tantrum and wallowing in the floor like he's foaming at the mouth and screaming cause his mom and dad won't do this for him. Now, okay, we'll do it. You know what? You know what they ought to do? They ought to junk him up and wear his rear end out. I'm just telling you, disobedient to parents. And then unthankful. Are people thankful today? May I ask you this, and don't raise your hands, even as God's people, how thankful are we for what he does for us every single day? The breath he gives us, the air he lets us have, the sunshine, the rain, the food, the clothing, a church, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Word of God, this blessed book right here. And on and on and on and on. How thankful are we? I say we. A lot of times I ain't thankful like I ought to be either. So I'm just saying, is it going to get better? Unthankful. And then the next one, unholy. You know, God said we ought to be holy. Jesus said, be holy for I am holy. How many of God's saved people live a holy life? And I'm not talking about sin is perfection. And I'm not talking about being perfect. And I'm not talking right like this and you turn this. I ain't talking about that silly stuff. I'm talking about being holy in our living, in our testimony, and what we do for him. Being holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Do we live a holy life? Do we live a life in front of other people's holy? Not only lost people, but other brothers and sisters in Christ, do we live a holy life for them? I'm saying we, because I'm just as guilty. Now let's look at the next one. And this isn't going to get good. Verse 3. Without natural affection. You know what that is? It's homosexuality. And if we ever been anywhere there, then we're there today. We're there today. Take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 1. Hold your place there. Romans chapter 1. Yeah. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse number 26. What do we see right back here? Without natural affection. And you know what it is? It's homosexuality. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. What's that? Vile affections without natural affection. We find over here in 2 Timothy. For this cause, God gave him up to vile affections. What is vile? It's wicked. It's ungodly affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. Homosexuality. That's what he's talking about over here in 2 Timothy. And likewise also the men. This will make you sick to your stomach. Leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was meet. Yeah. Without natural affection. Boy, I tell you what, it's rampant in this country. This country has gone stone slap crazy in homosexuality, and they're getting more liberty. And let me say this before anybody judges me. I pray that God will save as many of them as they possibly get saved. They need to be saved. But that don't stop the situation the way it is now. Homosexuality is just as out in the public as it's ever been. It's in the Boy Scouts now, and it's in churches, it's everywhere you look. There are more and more and more and more of it every single day. You turn the news on, and another state's legalized it. Another state's condoned it. And it don't let up, it don't stop, it don't slow down, and it don't diminish. It keeps on getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Homosexuality. God, you know, hey, and you know why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with all the sodomites in there. And I don't care what nobody says. It don't matter what anybody believes. That Bible says, God said, it's an abomination and it's against God and He will judge it. I'm not a prophet. I wouldn't be surprised God don't judge America for that one of these days, because it is getting out of hand without natural affection. And then truth breakers. What about that? What about, can you trust people? Truth breakers. You might make a pact with somebody or tell somebody, well, now, this is between me and you, brother. Don't let it go any further. It's not a truth, but it's a secret. Same thing. You're trusting somebody. And the first thing you know, it's all over the neighborhood or all over the church what you discussed. Truth breakers. And you find that all in the government all the time. Where one country's breaking the truth with another one, and another one with another one, you can't trust none of them because they're all going to break truces no matter what. That's why you got so many wars, one reason, because of truce breakers. Truce breakers. And then the next one we want to look at is incontinent. And that word incontinent means, now I want you to watch this, incontinent, without self-control. That's what that word means. Incontinent. Now, boy, we there today. You got so many people running around out here don't know how to control themselves. You got more of them. You got leaves on a tree. They're everywhere. You don't know. You walk out of here tonight. There ain't some moron out there fixing to shoot all of us. Incontinent people. There's no self-control. They don't know how to control themselves. And there's a lot of reasons why they don't know how to control themselves. A lot of them don't dope. A lot of them are drugged up. A lot of them don't alcohol. A lot of them just don't care. A lot of them wants attention. A lot of them wants a reputation. And they don't care who they kill. They don't care what they do. They have no self-control over themselves for any reason. And a lot of them don't have to be blown away on dope. They don't have to be sacked out on the alcohol. They just ain't got no self-control over themselves. And they just do what they want to. And if they're not saved, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you know why they don't have any self-control? Because the devil controls them. He's got them. He's got them where he wants them. They know one of them ain't no self-control. Yeah. Incontinent. And then fierce. Now I want you to watch this in this next one. Fierce. Incontinent. Fierce. Yeah. That word fierce means violent, It means burning with anger. It means obstinate. It means arrogant. It means savage. It means hard or tough. It means brutal. It means difficult. It means furious. Now, boy, I tell you what, that right there, that fierce. That's what we got in this world today, folks. We got today, fierce. I mean, boy, you got people out there today, they as violent as they can be. And the more violent they are, the better they like it. Violent. They're burning with anger. You got people out there today, and that's why some of them said they go in these places and try to blow 15 or 20 people away. Why? I was angry. I didn't like this, and I didn't like that, and my mama wouldn't give me the right kind of milk on my cereal, so I'm going to go out and start killing people. And my mama wouldn't give me the right pair of tennis shoes, so I'm going to kill some people. Fierce. And burning with anger. You got people right here in Rowan County right now burning anger. And I guarantee you Rick Hildebrand knows it because he deals with these kind of people. Obstinate. Boy, they, you don't want to hear nothing. Man, they just as hard as a rock. They just as obstinate as a stone. They don't listen to nothing. Arrogant. Savage or hard. Tough. I mean, boy, tough guys. Hard. They don't want to hear nothing. Don't tell me nothing because I know it all. What they are. And then they're difficult and they're furious. They're mad all the time. They're mad at the world. They're mad at their mama. They're mad at their daddy. They're mad at their government. They're mad at themselves. They're mad at everything and everybody that breathes and the things that don't breathe. They're mad at them. They're furious and difficult. Can't do nothing with them. You can't do nothing with them until they get Jesus in their heart and then he'll do something with them. Looks pretty bad, don't it? And then you got these traitors. Traitors. We know what that is. I don't have time to elaborate on all these. But then you got heady. And the word heady means obstinate and stubborn and self-willed. All these things that's listed here in 2 Timothy are negatives. They ain't none of them a positive. They're all negatives. And then despisers of those that are good. Boy, today I tell you what, I believe with all my heart, and that's up here in verse number 3, there at the bottom part of verse 4, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Boy, you got people today that are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And I'm just being honest. I hate to say it, but you know yourself, there's a lot of saved people today, a lot of God's people that love pleasures more than they love God. God knows my heart. I told the Holy Spirit to tell me to say what he wanted me to say. And you know I'm telling you the truth. I'm not being critical. I'm not being ugly. I'm not being judgmental. But you got a lot of saved people out here today. They're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. How do you know, preacher? Because you'll find a big crowd of those people on Sunday going won't come to church because they're going to miss the kickoff of the Panther game. Now, I like to see them win if they don't win. I like the Panthers, but God help me if I ever, and I'm not tooting my horn, I'm using me because I know me, but God help me if I ever lay out of church to watch the Panthers or the Carolina Tar Heels. I don't care if they're in the national championship and they're favored by 5,000 points, I ain't laying out of church to watch nothing. You got people today that lay out of church for the least thing. That's why you got so many churches today that's got a baker's dozen in here, and on Wednesday nights a half a dozen, and on a Sunday night a half a dozen, and on Wednesday night half of that crowd. Last days. Lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. And of course, the lost man's going to be that way. He don't care anyway. Now I want you to back up. Verse 3, look at the last part. Despisers of those that are good. How many people today do you know that hates God's people? I know everybody in here run into them all the time. They hate God. Just like Paul, the Apostle Paul. He hated God. He hated Jesus Christ. He hated the Bible. He hated Christians. He hated everything to do with religion. He hated it all. Until God got his attention in Acts chapter 9. And when God got his attention, son, and got him straightened out, it was a different situation. You got people today, they hate God. They'll tell you, they hate God. Despises those that are good. We run into that on Thursday nights all the time. I just ain't got no use for Jesus. I ain't wanting to serve God. I ain't got no time for it. We hear it all, and you men and women have too if you deal with people. You witness for them. You got people that literally hate God, despises those that are good. Is it going to get better? Look at verse number 13. I'm going to move on. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, I don't see anywhere in that scripture says evil men is going to get better. I don't see where it says, but evil men will improve. Evil men will get grip on themselves and get better. Evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They're being deceived by the devil, and the devil deceiving them, and they're deceiving people. It ain't going to get no better. So that statement we see, go back over to Proverbs if you want to. But that first statement is, a man has joy in the answer of his mouth. It's good to say, cheer up! Everything's going to get better! Is it? Is it? And then the next thing I want to look at is the second false statement.
Yeah.
Cheer up now! It could get worse. Cheer up! It could get worse. Could it? Let's look and see. Yeah. Take your Bible and go to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8.
Yeah.
Let's see if it gets any better. Revelation chapter 8. Now, I'm not going to have time to go over all these things I want to go over, but I want you to listen to them as I go over them and ponder them in your minds and ponder them in your hearts and see what the situation is. Cheer up! Things couldn't get any worse. Well, let's see if it can't. Revelation chapter 8, and let's look at verse number 7. We see here the first trumpet. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail. And again, now let me say this. The reason I say it's not going to get any better, it's not going to get any better for the lost man. Those that are going to be left after the rapture, it's not going to get any better for them. They said, cheer up, things could get worse. Things couldn't get any worse. We're going to find out for the lost man. Verse 7, the first trumpet. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. Now listen to these things. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. The second trumpet. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire, and was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea become blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of ships were destroyed. Couldn't get any worse for the lost man. Verse 10, the third trumpet. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star was called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were bitter. That's what wormwood means, bitter. What's going to happen, preacher? The water. You can't do it without water. All right, let's look at the fourth trumpet. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and night likewise. Verse 13.
Yeah.
And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice. What kind of a voice?
With a real soft voice.
No, with a loud voice. God wants them to hear what he's got to say. With a loud voice. Whoa, whoa, whoa. To the inhabitants. And that word woe means, buddy, you better get ready, you better watch out, because it's fixing to break loose.
Yeah.
Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Well, you know, if that was it right there, that'd be bad. That'd be bad enough for the lost man that's left behind. Cheer up, things can't get any worse. That would be bad enough. But I'm afraid it don't stop there. Let's look at the next trumpet blast, chapter 9. Look at the fifth trumpet blast, chapter 9. Look at verse number 1. It's the fifth trumpet blast and the first woe. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, I don't know whether you've been watching the news or not, whether you've been watching this situation up there around San Francisco, where there's about 290 acres been burned. And I seen it the other night, and that flames are going higher in the trees, and it's like an inferno, and they can't stop it, they can't get it contained, and it's not but about 12% contained as of yesterday. Yeah. What do we see here? Smoke of a great furnace and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Verse 3. And there came out of smoke a locust upon the earth, and upon them was given power as the scorpions of the earth to have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, any either tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Could you imagine those scorpions and those locusts stinging like a scorpion? You know what a little bee sting feels like? You ever got stung by one of them big old yellow jackets? Could you imagine? I ain't never been stung by a scorpion. And I ain't gonna pick Mr. Scorpion up and let him sting me to see how hard it hurts. I'm not quite that stupid. But they say that's one of the most painful things there is, to get stung by a scorpion. And the Bible said, but only those men which were not, had not the seal of God in their foreheads. It's gonna get better. Let's look and see. Verse 5. And to them it was given that should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. Their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Yeah. Don't raise your hand. How many of you been in pain for something that's hurting you? Kidney stones, gallstones, backaches, whatever it is. And you feel like you're going to go crazy. But you go take a pain pill, and most of the time it'll knock it out or ease it off. There ain't going to be no pain pills here. There ain't going to be no relief for these people. They're going to have to endure that pain. 6 months. Day in and day out. Every hour and every second of every minute of every day. There ain't going to be no pain pills. There ain't going to be no relief for them. 6 months. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. And shall desire to die, and death will flee from them. A lot of times today, people get in a lot of pain. They'll go in there and blow their brains out. They'll go in there and shoot up enough drugs to kill them. They'll go in there and do something to kill themselves. It ain't going to happen. There ain't nothing they can do that's going to help them. Not one thing. So we find here, it's not going to get any better. For the lost man, go back older. Let's go back older. Proverbs 15, second false statement. Yeah. And a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Yeah. Cheer up! Things can't get any worse! How good is it? It ain't good for the lost man. Not now, not ever, and not ever. Yeah. Say, well, that is pretty bad. Let's look at one more scripture, and I'm going to finish up with my last point. If all that wasn't bad enough, and if all that wasn't enough to have to put up with, let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, look at verse number 14. And death and hell, who is that? That's death, those that died, and hell, those that cast into hell. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Well, now, preacher, don't you believe they're going to get out in a million years? Don't you believe after they paid their sin debt, they're going to get out? No, the Lord Jesus Christ paid their sin debt, and they didn't accept it, and now they're in the lake of fire. Yeah, and they won't be in there for a week. They won't be in there for a month. They won't be in there for a year. They won't be in that place for a decade. They won't be in that place for a millennium. But they'll be in there forever and ever and ever and ever. I'm going to show you something else. What kind of company are they going to have in there?
Yeah.
Look at verse number 10. And the devil. Could you imagine being in a place with that sorry rascal?
Yeah.
And the devil that deceived them. And that's what he done. He deceives this crowd that won't trust Jesus. He deceives this crowd that don't want salvation. He deceives this crowd that refuses to get saved. And the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Where are these people at, preacher? Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and false prophet are, down over them two, and shall be tormented night and day forever and ever. They ain't never going to get out. I couldn't imagine something like that. Second false statement, cheer up! Things couldn't get any worse. They ain't going to get worse for the lost man. The lost man is not going to get any better here in this life, and they're going to get even worse in the life to come. Forever and ever and ever. Yeah. Now, kind of deceived you just a little bit. I said that first false statement I made, cheer up, things are going to get better. That's a half-truth. It will for the saved man. For you and I, that are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the bride of Christ, it's going to get better for us in eternity. Not here, but in eternity it's going to get better. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 4. Everybody in here could probably quote it, but I want to read it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 4. Second Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse number 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Is it going to get better for the saved person? You bet your life is going to get better. One of these days, and it may be today, it may be tonight, it may be the middle of the night, and I hope we got all our garments on, and we got everything ready, and I believe everybody in here tonight is ready. And one of these days, you're going to hear that trump, and we're going to be out of here, and it's going to get better, and it's going to get gooder, and I don't know whether it's such a word as gooder, but it sounds good. It fit in. It's going to get better and better and better and better and better. And I'm not even going to cover all the things that we're going to see in heaven. I'm not going over all the mansions and the glorified body and all that we're going to get. I'm not even going to get into that for the sake of time. But it is going to get better for us. It's going to get better for us. We find it over in Revelation chapter 4. You don't have to turn there. Revelation chapter 4, what we just read, come to life. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. John said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was that was a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show these which must be hereafter. Woo! Hey, that's us! That's us! John said, I saw a door open. Who's it open for? God's bride. Jesus' bride. His ecclesia. The called out ones. The bride of Christ. That's us. John said, I heard a trumpet.
Yeah.
Talking with me. Said, come up here and I'll show you things that must be hereafter. So, you know, for us, it's going to get better. Now, I got a couple more points and I promise you I'm through. What will we inherit? What will we inherit? You know, Jesus said that we're going to inherit some things. And I know a lot of people like to get inherit things. We're going to inherit some things. Let's go to see what we're going to inherit. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now watch this. Watch this. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now watch verse 17. Now I don't want nobody to jump over the pew, and I don't want nobody to get so wild they throw something at me and hit me, but watch, what's number 17? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, and if so be that we serve with Him, that we all shall be glorified together. Hey, Jesus owns it all. It's His. Everything. And if He's an heir of all things, we're a joint heir with Him. What is His is ours. We're going to get everything He's got. Why? Because we're a joint heir with Him. Because we're washed in His blood. Let me look at that again. That's good. And if children... then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And if be that we suffer with Him, we also will be glorified together. Everything He's got is going to be ours. It don't matter what it is. It's ours too, because of Him. Because of Him. And then I'll close with this. Why can we get that? Let's go to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. And I'm almost through. I want you to watch this. I about had a conniption, whatever that is. Yeah. Revelation 21 and verse 7, and I'm winding her down. Yeah. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Yeah. He that overcometh shall inherit how much? Most things. A lot of things. A bunch of things. Yeah. A group of things. A-L-L. All things. What is all, preacher? All is all. If I got all my money down here in a tin tub, that's all I got. I can put it in one of these offering plates. That's beside the point. All is all. But notice what he said. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And I close with this. Go to 1 John chapter 5 and I'm through. 1 John chapter 5 and I'm through. What is an overcomer? 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse number 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Who's an overcomer? Those that are born of God. Those that are washed in the blood, born again, saved, going to heaven. We're overcomers. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now look at verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. We are overcomers. It's going to get better for us because of what Jesus did, and it's all about Him, for Him, and because of Him. We're overcomers. Read that one more time, I'm through. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. We're overcomers. So we think about those two statements today. Cheer up! It's going to get better. It ain't going to get better for even the saved people in this life. Cheer up! It's going to get better. It's going to get better for us one day when we hear that trump. Or if we go by the side and knowing we're going to heaven, we take our last breath and our body, our soul and spirit leaves us and we're in heaven just like that. We ain't got nothing to fear about death. Hey, we're going to be alive forevermore. Then the lost man, cheer up. Things couldn't get any worse. They're going to get worse in this life, and they're going to get desperately worse in eternity. Yeah. you would, everybody standing, if you would. Yeah, if you need to come to the office.